What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Shifting Gears Podcast. I am your host, Justin LaRocque. I am the marketing manager here at Spectrum Automotive Holdings, and this podcast is presented by Spectrum Automotive Holdings. If you are new, please take a moment first and foremost to make sure you are following us over on our social media platforms. If you're listening to this over on YouTube, make sure you like and subscribe to the channel. We do really appreciate that. If you're new, if you're not familiar with what we talk about here, this is all about the automotive industry. We talk everything about F&I best practices to women in automotive, discussions on dealer equity programs and reinsurance, and even careers in automotive, and so much more. And so one thing I always like to clarify is that I am in no way the expert when it comes to some of the automotive side of things, as I am more into marketing. But that's why I like to bring on the experts that can kind of share and discuss some of these topics that we have. So really excited for today's guest, because this is a little bit of a different angle of some of the things that we've talked about in the past. While it may not all tie in necessarily directly to automotive, it certainly is relatable in many, many ways. So today we're talking about recruitment in today's world, and we are with Mike Nagast, who is the corporate recruiter here at Spectrum Automotive Holdings. So let me bring him in. Mike, how you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to kind of share some information with you guys and kind of talk about my expertise in the recruitment field, and really glad that you guys decided to bring me on.
Yeah, absolutely. We're glad to have you here. And like I was saying before, you know, obviously recruitment ties into all businesses, and people are always looking, especially during this past year and a half and how challenging things have been and for all industries, and certainly the automotive industry can attest to that. So I'm very curious to kind of get your take on some of what you've witnessed here in the past year and a half, kind of where things have gone and where things are right now in today's world. Yeah. So before we get into the details of that, I do want to ask you to just tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how long you've been in the recruitment space for.
Sure. Yeah, great. Well, again, my name is Mike Nagast. I have been living in North Jersey my whole life, born and raised. As far as my career goes, I have an undergrad degree in human resource management from Western Connecticut State University. I've been recruiting and doing talent acquisition for almost 11 years. I've worked in a couple different industries, healthcare predominantly, but I've also done corporate sector as well. And when this opportunity popped up, I thought it was something that I can really kind of take and run with. And recruiting for all levels of automotive professionals, from sales folk to marketing team to IT, really helped diversify my skill set. But I've been in the recruitment world for 11 years. I've also done operations management for about 5 years. So I feel like with my diverse skill set, partnered with what Spectrum has to offer, we have a great value add for candidates looking to join the organization.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it sounds like you definitely have come from a strong background in some of the work that you've done. Obviously, we've talked before. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited to kind of dive into some of these. And I have some questions here for you. Yeah. So let's start it off with, how the past 18 months have impacted this current recruitment efforts. How has that been?
Yeah, I think the best way to, articulate and break that down is, kind of in three parts. When COVID hit, would be kind of like your part one, then kind of the vaccine rollout would be kind of your part two. And then, chip shortages in the automotive industry would kind of be your part three. Breaking that down into part one, when COVID hit, we saw, massive layoffs, in the auto industry, both at the manufacturing level, as well as the dealership side. A lot of people that I'm speaking with, they have a last date of employment of March 2020, February 2020, June 2020. This industry was impacted tremendously, by the pandemic. So a lot of people were out of work, a lot of people were kind of on the sidelines, looking for work, just wasn't available at the time based on, dealerships having to run lean, manufacturing companies having to run lean. So that was kind of like your part one over the last 18 months. And, yeah. And then kind of your part two, as we saw the shift, with vaccine rollouts and people getting vaccinated and more of a return to work type status, dealerships started to hire a little bit more, manufacturing companies started to hire more, agencies started to hire a little bit more again on their sales force. So, we saw kind of a shift from a lot of candidates kind of being on the sidelines to you know, a lot of these candidates now being able to be selective in terms of the jobs that they're looking for. So, you know, whereas, you know, it literally went from, you know, no jobs being available to an abundance or a surplus of positions being available. So, you know, that was kind of a shift, you know, as we got into, you know, the beginning of 2021, mm-hmm. You know, through the early summer. Yeah. And now what we're seeing with the chip shortage is kind of reverting back to, you know, dealerships again, you know, potentially starting to run lean, you know, if the volume of business, you know, isn't there. So that's kind of where, you know, kind of where we are now, kind of in like this limbo stage where, you know, we had a lot of people on the sidelines, then we kind of had a rush back to work, candidates being selective, and now we're kind of at this limbo stage, kind of to see what's next, you know, in the market space here.
Right, absolutely, yeah. It's crazy to I mean, and affecting all industries. It's been a crazy past year and a half. Mm-hmm. What are some of the experienced high level automotive sales and management candidates that you're speaking to saying about returning to work and their next job venture?
Absolutely. So a lot of the you know, high level salespeople, you know, managerial level candidates that you know, I'm speaking with in the automotive industry, you know, they're really looking for going back to a sense of normalcy. You know, especially the ones that travel a lot and commute a lot for work, whether they're you know traveling coast to coast, you know, traveling interstate. You know, obviously with the pandemic, that was a, you know, a huge there was a huge gap for them in terms of being able to do that. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the people that I'm speaking with, you know, in those types of positions are really looking to get back to that sense of normalcy, and a lot of them have, you know, in the past few months, you know, business has kind of, you know, got back to a little bit of a normal phase again with vaccine rollouts and people returning to work. You know, but again, you know, high level sales manager may have had a team of maybe, you know, 10 that they were managing, you know, at a regional level, you know, and now maybe that team was, you know, because of COVID was reduced. So, you know, getting back to a sense of normalcy is the biggest thing that when I speak to candidates that they're looking for. Mm-hmm. You know, a sense of growth and team camaraderie is something that I think they've been missing, you know, since the pandemic, and something that they're looking to get back into. And again, opportunity. You know, whatever company, you know, is coming out of this on the stronger end, is going to be one that is going to have a lot of opportunities available for some of these candidates. So what we're seeing is a lot of high level candidates that maybe have gotten, you know, a severance type package or something like that. I mean, maybe for 12 months or 18 months, and now are readily on the market, you know, because they had to be let go during COVID, but now they're readily available. So there's an abundance of really high quality, high-profile industry professionals that companies can potentially capitalize on if a spot were to open up for them. So,
sure.
So that's a lot about what I'm hearing from them is more of a, you know, return to normalcy. But also, I think they feel that there's going to be some open opportunities for them that they may not have even considered, you know, pre-pandemic or pre-COVID.
So. Yeah. No, I could see that different opportunities really starting to open up. What are some of the things that those in position of dealerships and agency leadership can do to help attract candidates to their organization?
Sure. You know, one of the biggest things, you know, I was just on a call, you know, called the Great Resignation, and it was a webinar, a WebEx call that, you know, kind of highlighted, you know, that in this market space overall, you know, auto industry and a lot of other industries, you know, to be frank, mm-hmm. You know, again, the candidates right now have the ability to be very selective in terms of where they want to go and what company they want to work for and you know, things of that nature. So, you know, one of the things that the call highlighted was what, you know, what dealerships, what agency leaderships can do, what companies can do in general to attract candidates is, you know, number one, highlight your benefits, you know, your total benefits package, you know, not just health and medical, you know, but maybe any retirement options, stock options, mm-hmm. Promotion to well-being, you know, rewards and recognition programs, things like that maybe can make your company or your dealership stand out from, you know, the three down the street, right?
Sure.
So say certain markets, you know, you know, big metropolitan areas, there's a lot of competition out there to attract, you know, high level people. You know, if you're in a position of leadership or ownership or partnership, you know, what can you do to attract these candidates? And one of the biggest things that candidates are saying is, you know, what is your total benefits package, right? You know, outside of total compensation, which we know is always going to be important, you know, one of the biggest drivers is, you know, what are your benefits look like? You know, if I come to you, Am I going to have to pay out of pocket? You know, or what percentage of out of pocket am I going to have to pay for benefits? Am I going to have to pay at all? What does your retirement plan look like? Am I offered stock options? You know, what is your, what well-being initiatives do you have? You know, it's something very, that candidates are talking about. Well, you know, with still being in this COVID environment, do you have well-being initiatives? What are you going to do if I get sick? You know, what does your return to work program look like? You know, being able to have all those things readily available is extremely important.
Yeah.
Those would be some of the biggest things that I would say. One of the other things that you could do as a dealership leader is try to put yourself in your workforce's shoes, right, or your employee's shoes. So yeah. Whether it's an agency or a manufacturer or a dealership or, again, whatever type of company that you may be running, what you feel is going to work for the masses, may or may not actually be the case. And try to take a step back and put yourself in, maybe one of your employee's shoes and say, hey, if I'm in this scenario, what does this look like for me? Or if I'm in this scenario, what does that look like for me? I think a lot of times, leaders take, either, advice from others or they're outsourcing a lot of this types of stuff. And, they just look at the paper and they say, okay, this looks good for my workforce. Let's roll it out. But sure. Maybe putting themselves in their workforce's shoes and say, what is this going to look like when we roll it out from a process standpoint, from a benefit standpoint, from a compensation standpoint, are we giving our employees, the best that's out there?
Yeah.
And if we're not, we need to take a look at that and say, if I was an employee, if I wasn't the owner, if I wasn't the general manager, if I wasn't the executive, right? Or would this work for me?
Yeah.
And I think that's something that if done correctly and rolled out effectively, really can help attract and retain employees especially in this market space when people are leaving companies to jump ship faster than any other time. In workforce history, and it's something that I think needs to be, strongly considered by all leaders of companies.
Sure, sure. Yeah, and I think you make great points there, and especially like the idea of, like you said, really going out of your way to highlight some of the benefits that you have here, other than just your general or your basics, mm-hmm. from what people almost already expect.
Yeah.
And as you're saying, like a lot of companies have similar packages when it comes to some of those main benefits, but what other details do you have that might stand out, compared to others? So yeah, no, great points. What are some of the biggest post-COVID initiative dealerships should be taking when it comes to recruiting and hiring?
Yeah, whoever's going to be involved in your process, you want to do a couple things. You want to articulate very clearly what your employer value proposition is for the people that you're trying to attract. And that could be, anything from what are our values, mm-hmm. what are our goals, being able to clearly identify those goals and clearly identify a strategy for those goals. Because as a candidate, coming into your store or your company, either from a competitor or from another industry, what is your employer value add proposition to me? What are you going to be able to add that's going to attract me to come here. Also promoting job security and growth. During an interview or during a conversation, tell me, about the growth of the company. Tell me about where you were, 5 years ago and where you are now,
yeah.
and where you plan to go, especially with the pandemic and, the recession. People don't want to necessarily hear that, we're not doing too well, or,
sure.
This isn't the best time for us, right? So being transparent, is key, but also being able to highlight growth that you may have had, that's extremely important. And being able to, again, articulate what is your competitive advantage? What is your differentiator in the market space? Like mm-hmm. what can you offer that your competitors can't?
Right.
So that when I, come join your organization, we can take that advantage and make it tenfold, right? So being able to sit down with somebody and discuss that with them is very important. And again, like I mentioned, goal setting, and strategizing to achieve those goals is really going to help, recruitment and hiring, when you're attracting those candidates. But I think the most important thing, like I mentioned, is what is your employer value add proposition? What value are you adding to me for joining your organization? And being able to articulate that.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to kind of view that and ask yourself those questions to really put yourself into it's very similar to what you had just said earlier with with the leaders of companies really putting themselves in the shoes of these candidates as well, getting a clear understanding of what they're looking for.
Yeah, and you know, I think in this market space, and you know, I think what a lot of candidates are looking for, is a little bit of, to be honest with you, is empathy, and you know, but being able, like you just mentioned, and what I mentioned before, you know, putting yourself in somebody's shoes is you know, and being, you know, people aren't necessarily always looking for, you know, the shiny new toy in terms of of a new position, right? Sure. It's what from a 360 approach am I going to get out of this organization? You know, again, comp is great, benefits we talked about are very important, but you know, what value, number one, am I bringing to the organization by coming there? And number two, what value am I getting out of taking this position? Am I going to grow in this role? You know, am I going to, you know, be a promotable talent in this company? You know, or is this a company that maybe doesn't value those things? So being able to do that and articulate that to candidates is going to help you attract, again, a lot of good ones that have been sitting on the sidelines and are kind of ready to get back to work.
Totally. Absolutely. And I was curious, something else I want to ask you here was, how can virtual recruitment assist in attracting candidates? What are some of the pros and cons of virtual recruitment?
Sure. So, you know, especially in this industry, you know, automotive industry, you know, whether you work on an agency or you work in a manufacturer, you work in a dealership, you know, everybody's extremely busy. And, you know, a lot of people have, you know, meetings on top of meetings on top of meetings when you're in a leadership position or a position to interview, right? So, you know, being able to do things virtually on the fly via a mobile device, via a laptop, whether we're doing virtual interviews, we're doing phone screens, we're doing virtual, you know, assessments, virtual onboarding, you know, there's a lot of easy access items that one can do while they're in the airport, while they're driving, while they're, you know, maybe in a rental car, you know, while they're waiting for the next meeting to start. You know, use the technology that is available to you, really to number one, you know, get as many candidates through the life cycle process as possible, but number two, you know, it will help you time manage and help you, you know, kind of be able to, you know, get what you need to get accomplished, you know, on the recruitment and hiring side, you know, while also, you know, being able to get your work done. So you could say, hey, you know, I met virtually with this great looking candidate, you know, I'm gonna pass them your way. And, you know, I think some that we wanna speak with or that we wanna get in the door. So, you know, when there's a lot of moving parts and you know, especially in a dealership or you know, you know, especially for any high-level sales positions, you know, maybe for your agency, you know, being able to, you know, do a virtual interview, you know, meet the candidate, you know, where they are virtually, you know, there's just a lot more time in the day to do it than actually doing it, you know, face-to-face, at least initially. I think at the, sure. You know, when you get to that last stage, you want to do a face-to-face. I think that's still very important. Yeah. But to get the ball rolling and not to miss out on a good candidate and to keep them engaged, a virtual interview, virtual platform, you know, is extremely important. And then from that's really on the hiring manager side. Then on the recruiter side, you know, some of the things that we can do, you know, is there's a lot of AI, artificial intelligence platforms out there, that will help you with, you know, text recruitment. You know, studies have shown that, you know, candidates are more likely to respond via text within 12 seconds, but they may not respond to an email until either the end of the day or, you know, that week. So, you know, having some type of AI text platform, you know, is something that is kind of the wave of the future and will help you get a lot more touches, you know, in terms of candidates that are going to, you know, and your response rate will be a lot higher from a recruitment standpoint. So, yeah. You know, those are some important things. You know, you have to remember that these candidates now, you know, could have a lot of opportunities, you know, at their fingertips, and, you know, timing is everything. Which company is getting back to them the quickest, which ones are being the most upfront and transparent, and which ones are able to carve out the necessary time, you know, and again, virtual platforms can really help companies do that. And the ones that have a good grasp and wrangle on that are the ones that I think are going to set themselves up for success, you know, in the future.
Sure. Yeah. And I mean, I feel like these are things that really should have even been happening before the pandemic, right? I mean, in terms of efficiency and reach, that you're talking about, especially with like the text, technology and stuff.
Yeah. Like that. And I mean, sales guys and gals have been doing this for a while, right? Yeah. They've been, you know, working on their laptops. They've been traveling around, you know, the country, doing some of this stuff. But the push for the actual virtual interviews and the text platform AI, you know, those are things that have kind of been around, like lingering in the weeds, so to speak. But yeah. But with the pandemic and everyone working from home for so long, really it's pushed to the forefront. And right. Now, you know, what we're seeing is, you know, candidates are now like, well, wait, this is what I'm used to now. You know, this is what I now want. This is what I now need. And, right. And as an organization, to attract some of them, we have to be able to meet them in a certain way.
So, makes sense. You got to make that adapt. You have to adapt.
Yeah, I think adaptation is key, you know, in this market space. Sure. And virtual platforms can help with that tremendously.
I could see that. So, Mike, what are some tech-savvy initiatives a recruiter can bring to their organization to help them stay one step ahead of competition?
Right. So, you know, in my, you know, year here, you know, working in the auto industry, you know, this is a very relationship-based business, and it's very cyclical. And you know, people know people, and you know, being able to not just reach out to somebody who may be on the market space, but being able to keep that relationship and build off of that is extremely important, right? In this industry, so you know. An applicant tracking system is extremely important, and what that is it's a software database that basically houses candidates that you've come in contact with. You know, so you know, anyone within the organization can go into the system and say, hey, I saw that candidate applied. I know that person. You know, I recall meeting them a couple of years ago. You know, at a dealership or at a convention, or you know, I remember that name. You know, who do they work for again? It's like, oh well, you know, this person is on the market. You know, and even if we may not have something for that person, you know, right now, you know, we can keep a conversation and dialogue going with them. Wow. You know, for you know, 3, 6, 9 months. I've even done a year out with people, you know, that I've been trying to retain into certain positions, right? So. Sure. You know, I think having a system where we can easily access them will help with that. If you don't have that, then you know, you're really just running off of resumes or Excel spreadsheets, and it's not the most effective way, you know, to view candidates that are you know, that maybe you know have expressed interest in coming to your organization in the past. But this way they can stay there. It's a place that we can house them, and you know, they'll never leave the system unless we, you know, manually take them out. Something else that is a great tool from a tech standpoint is a pre-employment assessment. There's a lot out there that companies can use. We see this mostly on the sales side, you know, and in terms of, you know, does this person's assessment of their self, you know, translate or correlate to success in this position? And again, there's a lot of assessment platforms out there that candidates can take. You know, what we advise and recommend is, you know, whatever you roll out for your organization in terms of when that assessment is done, it should be the same for every position. And it should be done at the same point in the life cycle. So, you know, it really helps take the bias and you know, out of the recruitment and onboarding piece. You know, this person's assessing themselves, you know, do they meet the criteria that we feel is important for this position? They could have interviewed great, you know, they could have told us everything that they want to hear, but potentially when they take this assessment, you know, were they just telling us something that we wanted to hear, or is this actually, you know, based on what they identified, on their assessment as somebody who can succeed in the role?
Right.
So those are a couple things, you know, from a tech standpoint.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about virtual interview recruiting. We talked about AI. You know, there's a lot of platforms out there, whether you use Zoom or Microsoft Teams, or you know, there's a ton out there, you know, that people can kind of use at their fingertips.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So I want to ask you, how can internal recruitment help your business?
Sure. Yeah. You know, absolutely. You know, internal recruitment is extremely important for both, small, you know, mid-sized and large companies. You know, the reason that it is so important is because, you know, the recruiter and the talent acquisition is really the first phase of someone's relationship with the organization. You know, if you're outsourcing to an outside agency, or if you're, you know, if you're having your hiring managers do recruitment, you know, the candidate's not going to get that kind of white glove feel, you know, going through an agency. The agency's only looking to get the person hired. so that they can make money.
Sure.
That's what they're in business for, right? Yeah. You know, they may know about the company, they can give them a brief overview and a synopsis, but at the end of the day, you know, they care that that person gets hired for their bottom line. They don't necessarily care that that person gets hired and succeeds for your organization. You know, and then from a hiring manager standpoint, you know, it's such a time saver for them by having an internal recruitment department. You know, imagine yourself being a hiring manager, everything you have to go, you know, do in your day to day, but then you have to sit there and post jobs and source candidates and look at resumes and spend time on calls. You know, having an internal, you know, recruitment department allows you the ability to, you know, have someone do the legwork for you and, you know, be presented with, you know, candidates A, B, C, and D and say, hey, look, you know, these are the people that we've identified that we think will be a good fit for this role. You know, these are people that you probably want to take a look at. You know, we go as far as coordinating your schedule for you. We'll send interview confirmations out for you. So literally all you have to do is sit there, whether it's on the virtual interview or in person, and then make a decision, really. I mean, that's really your part, you know, as a hiring manager in that. And then obviously, you know, we can collaborate as much as possible or go back and forth on, you know, which candidate we want to present an offer to. So, you know, I think having an internal talent acquisition, you know, department and having a recruitment team, you know, is extremely important to the growth of your organization, both from a 360 approach and a white glove approach to candidate experience, mm-hmm. All the way through, you know, making your hiring manager's life easier. And all the way to being, you know, ultimately a cost saver. You know, a lot of, you know, I think agencies are great. They definitely serve a purpose for some positions, 100%. You know, but again, at the end of the day, you know, there's a cost that comes with utilizing them.
Sure.
So being able to identify that in-house and you know, can really help your organization grow and really can help your organization stand out amongst maybe some of your competitors that aren't doing this, aren't doing it in the market space.
Right. And to add on to that, how can an internal recruiter help companies anticipate long-term and short-term hiring needs for their organization?
Sure. So, you know, the recruitment team, talent acquisition, you know, should be a part of, you know, any you know, the, you know, headcount planning or department planning that you may have upcoming. Whether it's you know accounting or manufacturing or sales, you know having an idea of the headcount that is to come and what are our hiring goals for the next year, for the next quarter, having that done internally and being able to that gives the recruitment team a heads up and say, hey, you know, we're looking to bring on, we're growing, we're acquiring new organizations, we're going to need three more people in the accounting department, we're going to need a couple regional salespeople to facilitate this growth. You know, giving, it's all about time to hire and you know, being able to reduce the amount of time that you get a person onboarded, trained up, and out to do the job. That is what is most important. And that's where an internal recruiter really can help you.
Yeah.
Again, alleviating the pressure off of the hiring manager, but also being able to work with that hiring manager and saying, okay, what are your goals for your department? What can we help with? What is the goal for our dealership? How many technicians do we think we need this year? Or this quarter? How many finance people do you think that we need? How many, and then really identifying what is the current status of our workforce? Are we going to be having any turnover? Are there people that are doing well? Or are there people that aren't working out? And the recruiter can identify that and do a confidential search for you as well. So there's a lot of long-term and short-term planning that a recruiter should be involved with, specifically with department growth and growth of the organization as a whole.
Wow, that's a lot of great points that you make here, Mike. Hopefully for those listening right now, no matter what space you're in terms of, especially with the automotive industry, I know a lot of the things that you had mentioned tie in very closely to what some of the, dealer partners and colleagues that we have and work with, it can certainly apply to their world in many different ways. So I think this is excellent. I think you provide a lot of great information here on this. Ultimately, before we wrap up, is there any last minute thoughts or anything else that you want to share before we kind of close out here today?
No, I think we covered a lot. Definitely a lot of information there. My biggest thing for me is, in being here, I'm a resource for the organization. If anybody has any questions or anybody that's watching, ever wants to reach out, they can find me on LinkedIn. Mike on the Gas on LinkedIn. Got a lot of followers. Being a recruiter, it's one of those things where you meet a lot of different people.
Sure.
I'm happy to be a resource. you know, I do have a good amount of knowledge. Again, I've been doing this for about 11 years, and you know, any questions anybody has or anything that they want to follow up with after this, I'd be happy to listen to and happy to help.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, Mike, again, thank you so much for your time. And this information is great. So hopefully people listening here can pull something from it of their own and apply to their own situations that they're in, whether they're on the recruiting side or if they're even searching on that side. It can certainly be helpful either way. So again, thank you so much for your time and being on the show. Hopefully we'll have you back on again at some point.
Great, Jess. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right. And there you have it, folks. Once again, another great podcast in the books. Thanks so much to Mike Nagas. If you guys are not following him, as he's mentioned, he's over on LinkedIn. So make sure you go over there and connect with him. I put his information in the description below. And hopefully this was helpful to anybody, again, in the automotive space that can, you know, I think a lot of the things that he mentioned certainly apply in a lot of different ways to a lot of different departments within the automotive structure or dealership structure. So would love to hear your thoughts. Please take a moment, leave a comment in the comment section below. If you're looking to reach out to me, I'm over on LinkedIn as well, Justin LaRoque. I'll put the information in the description below as well. And make sure you're following us over on our social platforms. We're over on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and even YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed there. And thanks so much for taking the time to listen. And until next time, we will talk to you on the next episode.